Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Hello, awesome listener. This is Chuck Tomasi, and I am in, well, sunny Phoenix, Arizona, until the sun went down. And that other voice you hear cackling on the other end is none other than co-author, good friend, and podcaster T. Morris.
How you doing, everybody? And I hope there's more than one listener. When you said hello, listener, I'm like, we're down to one listener
now? I'm giving a personal touch
here. Oh, the personal touch.
We're really only talking to one person at a time.
Every time I try the personal touch, it's always a bad touch. So I'm just going to avoid that completely and just move on.
I have no disillusion. We're not talking to thousands of people here.
I'd like to think so. In my mind. But you know what we are going to be doing in this show is going to be talking about talking to people. We dedicated an entire chapter on one thing that came up often at PIY 2017. And before anybody asks, yes, there's going to be a PIY 2018. There might even be a PIY 2018 East and a PIY 2018 West.
Stay tuned to our usual channels here at the end of the show.
So anyway, but that came up a lot. People really, in fact, like I said in an earlier episode, Joe Hogan over at geekitude.com, he gave a great presentation on accessories. It somehow morphed into talking about interviews. And I just remember Joe going, this is a topic that we need to address in another time.
And we were presenting at the same time, so I didn't quite, I wasn't there. How did that go? Because he wasn't
supposed to, and he talked about it for maybe a couple of minutes, and he said, "But that's a topic for another time," you know. And he was very gracious about it, Joe. But you know what, Joe? I put you and Joe in the same category. I interview people. Yes, I interview people for the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. Heck, I interview people for Podcasting for Dummies.
Sure.
In fact, if you were to ask me what was my favorite interview, Sam Calagione. The founder of Dogfish Brewery.
Really?
I got a chance to interview him on the floor of Book Expo America in 2006 when the very first... He was so cool. I mangled his last name, though. Oh, God, did I mangle his last name.
Say that name again.
I pronounced it Calagione.
Okay.
It's actually Sam Calagione. And when I mangled his last name, I kind of looked at him with big eyes, and he was like, that's close enough.
I'm an Italian with a last name, too.
There you go. So
I understand completely.
But he was so gracious with his time. He was so generous with his time. And on top of that, he was hella fun. And we'll get into the dynamics of the.
I was going to say, where do you want to start on this? Because there's so much to cover.
I know. There's so much to cover.
There's the prep. There's the interview itself.
So we talked about that. We actually touched base on this in I think it was the Patreon show for Technorama, but we were talking about not just what to do in an interview, but what not to do in the interview. And I think the first thing we should address off the bat is when you are doing an interview, it is no longer your show.
It's about them. Yep.
This comes from a show that I tried to listen to. I gave it several opportunities at the bat. It was poor audio quality, but I'm like, it's a podcast. Yeah. I'm going to suspend it. They were obviously fans of writers and wannabe writers themselves. And so that kind of oozed its way through. And I said, you know what? I've been there before. I'm okay with that. But then it came to this one interview where the three hosts all broke off on a tangent, and I'm not exaggerating. They broke off on a tangent for, I watched the clock tick by, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes goes by, and then suddenly...
Your guest left 10 minutes ago.
And that was the thing. They said, oh yeah, we should return to our guest. And the guests went, hi guys. And it's like...
Oh no.
And this wasn't at the beginning of the... this was in the middle of the interview, which had already gone for about 10 minutes. So when it comes to doing an interview, I mean, and that's when I'm going to turn it over to you, Chuck, because you've done way more interviews than I have. So, you know, how do you keep your show, but you give the show over to your guest.
I think that, I don't know if it was in the second edition or you said, somebody said it to me. They said, act like you are a proxy for the listener. What do you think they want to ask? And sometimes before we do an interview,
I wish I was that savvy to say that.
We will go out on Facebook and say, hey, we're doing an interview with so-and-so. What do you want to ask? And we will get actual questions from our listeners and friends on Facebook.
That's fun.
And incorporate that into the question. Sometimes we'll even throw their names in there. Hey, Gary is asking, I've got a faithful listener from Belgium and he wants to know. And if it goes with the conversation. So how do you keep it your own show? Well, you're still the voice of the show,
right?
They're going to recognize me and they're going to recognize Craig. And we're going to introduce and say, hey, we've got a special interview with, so-and-so from this TV show or movie or book or whatever. And it, you can still make it your own. But let them tell the story. Let them lead you where they're on the journey where they're going to go. Oftentimes, they're going to have a pre-canned shtick. If you're asking about a latest book they wrote, they're going to tell you about the book and the story and take you on their journey. But as you know from your first interview when we interviewed you years ago, we may throw you a curveball because we're going to do our research. And Craig said, hey, T, what kind of cigars do you smoke?
Oh, my God. That's right. I forgot about that.
That wasn't anywhere in the script. He just threw it out there and it took us in another direction. We did the same kind of thing with celebrities at Dragon Con. We just go, hey,
So that brings up something. I was actually going to save that in the back pocket for later, but let's address that now. I think it's important to prep way more questions than you need.
Oh, and absolutely.
Just prioritize the ones you really want to get first. Have a second tier, but I always like to end. I always like to end an interview with a wild card question, and that was what I did with Sam Calagione. And I was allowed to do this because this was something I was doing with Wiley at the time.
It has to be. Not too wild. Tell me about your mother.
Oh, no. My mother? Let me tell you about my mother. No, in fact, we're going to get to inappropriate questions in a second. But what I was talking about was, so Wiley Publishing had set up all these interviews for me at Book Expo. Mm-hmm. And they said, you're allowed to ask these folks X amount of questions. And I said, okay, that's fine. And you're kind of throwing me under the bus because I haven't had any chance to prepare. But I do have one caveat to your rules. I get one wild card question. And they were really nervous about that. heaven knows why. But I remember some of the really fun wild card questions. And I'll talk not only about Sam, but a couple other interviews I did. So Sam Calagione was one. And his wild card question was, why does corporate American beer suck so bad?
Oh,
and he looks at me and he just looked at me. He's like, wow, we're really going to go there. And I said, yes, we are. And he said, well, the reason why beer on the corporate level is innocuous, lacks personality. And I said, you're going to use every other word but suck, aren't you? He's like,
yes.
I'm going to try to.
Yes.
He was wonderful. And he handled it like a pro. And he gave a great answer, too. Still, I rank it up there as one of the best interviews I ever did. The wild card question I had for the guy who did Astronomy for Dummies. Mm-hmm. I asked him, Carl Sagan, was he the best or worst thing to happen to astronomy?
Hmm.
Because there were some people in the astronomy circles that really didn't care for Carl Sagan's almost godlike persona that he was building in the ship of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy went off on how great Carl Sagan was and how he opened doors for other astronomers and how he made astronomy cool. So that was fun. One of the coolest ones, though, was I had the head editor of Bon Appetit magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And her wild card question was, how did it feel getting the most ultimate product placement in Silence of the Lambs? She launched into this amazing story about how Bon Appetit magazine didn't even know that they were in Silence of the Lambs. And their subscription rate went up 60% Silence of the Lambs. So they brought in Anthony Hopkins.
What a great question.
So then they brought in Anthony Hopkins to do a photo shoot. And she started going off on Sir Anthony Hopkins, going, he was such a lovely man, and he was so handsome. And, she was great. And those wild card questions are so much fun for the guests.
And you may find those wild card questions in your discussion with these people.
Yeah.
So you mentioned questions. You can't be overprepared. Have, like you said, twice as many as you expect. Because odds are, and Craig and I have experienced this, we will write them down as we do a remote thing. Craig's in South Carolina. I'm in Phoenix. We try to go, this is Chuck's question, this is Craig's question, this is Chuck's question, this is Craig's question. Now, there's two advantages to having that written down. One is we can change on the fly.
Right.
Because Chuck asks, hey, you know, tell me about the main characters in your book, or the antagonist does X, Y, Z. They may stomp all over another two questions that you
right.
had prepared.
Right.
Now your bank is depleted.
Right.
But you can, as you're listening,
take
listen
notes.
For follow-up questions.
Take notes.
And go, wow, would you say that character was based on you personally?
Right.
You know, you can lead and go in other directions and always haul it back into the main questions that you had. And meanwhile, Craig is, you know, scratching off Chuck on that one and putting mm-hmm. Craig on the mm-hmm. next question, so that we've still got a maintained order and we're doing this interactively and silently and sending IMs back and forth saying,
yeah.
All right, Craig, you've got the next question. And you can kind of cue this up. So in the absence of being face to face and going, pointing at the person in the studio saying, your turn, go.
Yeah.
You know, these visual cues that you can use, you can still do them remotely if it's a two person, one guest interview, or one-on-one. So yeah, have those questions handy. They're priceless.
So now how about sharing the questions with the interview subject before you go? What is your policy about that on Technorama?
I will do that if it's requested.
Right.
I generally don't, because they're,
no,
they're,
you don't.
They're the topic is around them, their career,
right.
their work. It should be easy enough for them to do. It's
sure.
not like I'm hitting hard hitting questions that need to be.
Again, we're going to get to that in just a
prepared
second.
Prepared yeah. and thought about. If somebody doesn't know how to talk about themselves.
But I have seen it where some shows have said, oh, no, we don't like sharing the questions with the people, because then it feels like they prepare for it. Well, then you're just kind of being rude.
Yeah.
If the guest, I think you should offer it. If the guest wants the questions up front, they'll get them. If they don't, they won't ask for them. But like I know.
And if you do share them, make a footnote in this as subject to change
yes,
during the interview.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing, too, is that when it comes to sensitive subjects, I think it's even more important to cover that. You don't want to blindside your guests with a sensitive subject.
Yeah.
For example,
you and your wife divorced in 1975
yeah.
and had three children. What was that all about?
Exactly. For example, when we had Lulu Soccer, who is a wonderful female gamer, on Happy Hour from the Tower, one of the questions that I wanted to ask her was, okay, you know, in light of Gamergate, in light of the backlash of women in gaming,
yeah.
I want to know if she had ever dealt with that. And I said, and I told Lulu, I said, look, if you don't feel comfortable covering this, I'm okay with us skipping the question. She went, no, I'll take it. And she, that was before we hit record. And then when we got to it, she tackled it. She tackled it like a rugby player. It was great. She was awesome. But that's the thing that I think some podcasters need to realize. You're not Oprah Winfrey. You're not Dan Rather. You're freaking not Walter Cronkite. Okay.
Right.
So going deep and kind of doing the gotcha question with an actor, with
generally
an author,
not wise.
No, it's not a good idea. You're just and if they say I don't want to talk about that, then you edit out that segment
yeah.
or you move on. And I've seen it where some interviewers press, this is for a podcast, and I'm
yeah.
like, you're an idiot. Because that guest not only will say, I am never coming on that podcast again, they will tell their friends, you really want to watch yourself on this podcast.
Well, and part of doing that interview is, A, so you can help promote their
right.
work, and so they can help promote
your work. Yeah.
You want them yeah. to, you know, send out the tweet and say, hey, I was just interviewed by, you know, such and such podcast, and you'll get some love out of that.
And
if you don't, they won't.
Exactly. And we've gotten a lot of love from the Happy Hour from the Tower crew has gotten a lot of love from Lulu, has gotten a lot of love from Evil Aura. We've gotten a lot of love from ZG Photo. We've been really fortunate to give people positive experiences. It should be a positive experience for you, and it should be a positive experience for your guest as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else that we would want to even cover. So yeah, the one thing that did come up was, well, what happens when you give, if someone is interviewing you and the one answer word, you know, yes, no, well, maybe. Well, in that situation, you then have to press. You go, would you mind expanding on that?
Right, right.
And that's,
well, first
again,
of all, you should have better questions so they're not closed ended.
Exactly.
You know, closed questions are the yes, no's.
So let's talk a little bit about that. The closed ended questions. How's the best way to avoid those?
Give me an example of, or tell me about your character, or how was it working on Star Wars? You know, just go into those questions where they can give their example, give their experience, tell you about that story. You want to know the story. It's not, how many years did you work on Star Wars?
Yeah. Again, now, and it's that small answer. One other thing I think is very important, because this happened to me once on an interview that I never dropped, because I didn't do my homework. I didn't find out enough about this one author. I just been told by another fan, hey, this happened to this author, and I think this is a great thing that the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy needs to tackle. So reached out to the author, made the arrangements, and I did not prep for anything other than this topic. And it turns out that when I said to the author, so I was told by a fan of the Survival Guide that this happened to you. The author came back with, well, that's not quite right. This is what happened to me. And the more he explained to me what happened to him, the more I'm like, this fan was completely off base. And now it was 5 minutes into a 30-minute interview.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared. And I was like, okay. And the more I talked to the guy, the more I realized I knew nothing about him. I knew nothing about his other works. I was completely caught with my pants down. I managed to BS my way barely to a 30-minute mark. And I thanked him for being on the show. He hung up. I let out a long breath and I said, I'm never letting that happen again. And that's the thing.
That's the lesson you learn.
Yeah. You've got to prepare. You can't just go off on one thing about the guest. You've got to do research on this guest. Find out other works they've been in. Find out about their background, their passions. That's going to be, you know, where the magic really happens.
I got a couple of great stories. Bad interviews. First one wasn't so much bad on my part, but I was on a business trip in 2013 going to Zurich, Switzerland.
Okay.
And realized, hey, there is a Technorama Science Center in Switzerland. We do a podcast called Technorama. Sure. Not affiliated in any way, except on Google searches. Sometimes they come up on top. Sometimes we come up on top.
Sure.
It's just a fun thing to watch. And I said, what an opportunity. I will go there. So I called ahead and said I'd like to do an interview. And they set me up with a docent. And she showed me around the place. And we sat down. And I am jet lagged like nobody's business.
Oh, no.
And the Zoom H2 being what it is. Everybody knows you have to press record twice.
Yeah.
We had gone through about 20-minute interview, and I looked up and I said, guess what?
We need to do this again. Oh,
so that was just a mind-numbing
user error.
Yeah.
User error.
And largely unaccountable to jet lag. the other one that went south, that you talked about not being prepared. We were at an exposition called the EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, fly-in in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
They come in every year. They've got the old Warbirds.
Yeah.
They've got new planes. Well, they had the Honda jet. Honda made a jet.
Okay.
And the engines weren't mounted under the wings. They were on nacelles above the wing.
Okay.
Very unique look.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm there with a coworker, and he says, hey, Chuck, go interview them. Because I was doing interviews with World War II veterans
and
getting some
sure.
content for the show. And I said, I'm not a pilot. I know nothing about this. I went up and BS'd my way through about 10 minutes of, that's a unique design. Tell me about that. And the person was very amicable. They were a marketing or salesperson there. But I knew nothing about what I was talking about. I think we cut that part from the segments we were airing. It was just a lark. But we learned something. You experiment, like anything else in podcasting, experiment, learn from it, and have confidence. I remember the first few interviews I did were with fellow podcasters. I started out interviewing people like Pamela Gay from Astronomy Cast.
Sure.
And Leo Laporte. And I was nervous interviewing Leo Laporte the first time. I think I went and came back and interviewed him again a second time a couple of years later. And it was a wonderful experience. You got to remember, these are people with different jobs than you that want to promote their work as sure. you do. So have confidence. It's okay to be excited that you're talking to someone you admire, and you can tell them that.
Yeah.
Hey, I admire your work. I love what you do. But don't get giddy and let it get in the way of what you're doing. I tell you, that I'm no more confident than when I'm holding a microphone and I've got bravado in excess.
So you know, and that's a great segue for to wrap it up. The last thing I would say is also to have fun. Because I was sitting here thinking, as you're talking about when you would be nervous, the most nervous I think I've ever been in an interview, I'm also talking about being in an interview, was we were being interviewed. This was when Pip and I first started writing steampunk. And the League of Steam, which is a really popular, like really world-renowned, award-winning web theater group, they wanted us to be on their show. So we were like, well, we can't F this up because everybody knows the League of Steam. Everybody, you know. So we were like, you know, and Pip was like, you got to be cool, T. You got to be cool. I'm like, okay, I'll be cool. I'll be cool. I'll be professional. It's okay. So we get there and we're kind of doing show prep and everything like that. And the hosts of League of the League of Steam cast, they sat down and they said, we really appreciate you being here. And we're like, oh, you know, and, you know, I said, it's wonderful to be here, right?
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and suddenly I hear this in the background. Psst. And I said, I'm sorry, what was that? And they said, well, we really don't want to talk about it. And I said, no, seriously, what was it? Well, we like to relax on the League of Steam, and we don't want to seem like we're unprofessional, but we just popped a beer. And I said, oh, if it's that kind of podcast, hold on. And they start laughing. Pip's like, could you get me a glass of wine?
Totally broke the moment.
Broke the moment. Pip's got a glass of wine. I got a beer. It was the most entertaining 45 minutes of any interview.
Broke the tension. Yeah.
It was great. Nice. And they were like, yeah, we were terrified having you guys on the show because you guys are like big time authors. And we're like, are you kidding? We were terrified because you guys are big time performers.
So we're people. All,
and, yeah. and we just had a phenomenal, we're still friends with members of the League of Steam. We call on them. They call on us. One of them wrote for one of our anthologies. Have fun. Because if you're not having fun, I guarantee you, in closing, I'm just going to wrap with this up. If you're not having fun with the interview, your guests aren't having fun either.
My closing comment is, don't miss the moment to let them promote. A good closing statement to your interview is, tell the people where they can find you.
Yes.
Pimp their website and Facebook and let them be promotable.
Yes.
It's always fun to talk about what are you working on now? What are your future plans? What can we look forward to? But give them a chance to say, how can people get in touch with you?
That is great. Speaking of getting in touch, if you want to get in touch with us, if you've got suggestions or if you've got questions about interviews, about how to do interviews.
The whole chapter.
and that chapter didn't do it for you. Well, I got news for you. You can drop us a voicemail or a WhatsApp text or a WhatsApp message at 703-791-1701. You can also drop us an email at pfdauthors@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at pfdauthors. You can find us under Podcasting for Dummies on Facebook. You can find us at pfdauthors on Twitter. You can also find us on podcastingfordummies.com. You can drop us a comment there if you want. But just remember, folks, that the Podcasting for Dummies companion podcast is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share-alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license on creativecommons.org, which is something we're going to be talking about in a later show. So on behalf of Chuck, thanks for listening. Pod on, everybody.